to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
You're watching Counterthink. Welcome to this episode. I'm Mike Adams, your host here on InfoWars.com. This is also being posted at counterthink.com. You can check out all the episodes there. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a really fantastic show for you lined up, all about biosludge and biosolids. We're interviewing an amazing scientist slash whistleblower. His name is Dr. David Lewis, and he's the author of the book Science for Sale. He's being considered as the science advisor to President Trump, and he is the person who opened my eyes to the issue of biosludge and biosolids. Now, this affects you in a big way because you're eating food that's been grown in human, you know, city sewage, human waste. It's shipped out of the cities and it's spread on the countryside and on the farms. And what this stuff contains will absolutely blow your mind. You will definitely want to hear this entire episode. And Dr. David Lewis joins us a couple segments down the road here. I've got a lot of other interesting points to cover first, but let me define biosludge for you. You know, there's a story about thousands of tons of New York human sewage stuck on a train in Alabama. And this story was the first story for a lot of people that woke them up to this issue of biosludge and sewage. And why is this happening? Well, it turns out that cities, of course, produce thousands of tons of waste. I mean, when you flush the toilet, when the corporations flush and the hospitals flush their medical, sometimes medical waste, sometimes even biohazards go down the drain. You know, light industrial companies, heavy metals, lots of things go down the drain. And that's all collected into a giant, like a sludge farm, like a sludge collection point. And then the water is separated out from the solids so that it becomes, well, a semi-aqueous, but not a lot of water. And then these solids are said to be safe by the EPA, but they say so based on fraudulent science, and that's what we're going to get into today. Nevertheless, they take this biosludge and they load it onto trucks and trains, and they distribute it across America. They distribute it usually locally. They take a truck, they load it up with this human sewage and sludge and toxic waste, and they drive it out of the city, and they dump it on a farm field. They go to farmers' doors and they knock on their doors and they say, "Hey, would you like some free fertilizer?" And the farmers are like, "Yeah, we'll take free fertilizer. It's fertilizer." And the city says, "Yeah, it's fertilizer. It's got nitrogen in it. That must make it fertilizer. It's kind of like from Idiocracy. It's got electrolytes. You know, it's got nitrogen in it. It's a fertilizer." And the farmer's like, "Yeah, we'll take some." They don't tell them it's also got heavy metals, it's got E. coli, it's got antibiotic resistant superbugs, you know, it's got hormone disruptors, plasticizer chemicals, pharmaceuticals, recreational drugs, plasticizers. Did I mention that already? All kinds of stuff in it. And it's insanely toxic. And they don't tell the farmers that. And so the farmers are like, "Oh, we're getting free fertilizer." And then all the sewage gets dumped on their farms. And from there, mass death ensues, you know, death of the field, death of the forest. They can grow crops in it, but the microbes in the soil are killed because of all the toxins. And then the birds spread it around and the wind spreads it around and it becomes almost like a biological weapon. And then farms, we have documented cases for our upcoming film, Biosludge. We've documented farms that have been utterly economically destroyed because of this biosludge that's spread on them, and farmers being almost unable to sell those farms because of the damage and the smell, the horrid, putrid smell. Imagine taking all the raw sewage of a city like Houston or New York City or Seattle or Los Angeles and just dumping it outside your front door. That's what they're doing to farmers. It's the cities dumping on rural areas and dumping on farmers, and we're going to get to the bottom of it right here on Counterthink. So stay with us. We'll come back after this break, and I'll give you a little more information, then we'll talk to Dr. David Lewis. Stay with us.
Warning, take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
You're watching Counterthink on InfoWars. My name's Mike Adams, your host. And, you know, Alex asked me to do this show or invited me to do it. And I said, yeah, heck yeah. I'm down with that. Let's do the show. And I asked Alex, you know, what do you want me to cover? And his answer was, anything you want. You just cover anything you want. You just do it. And so I've done a lot of research on biosludge, and that's our topic today. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dr. David Lewis. He's a former EPA whistleblower and scientist who has written a book called Science for Sale. But before we get to that, get ready. You're going to be, I'm going to try not to gross you out in this segment, but I'm going to bring you some actual real news about what's happening here, okay? What goes into biosludge? Now, you know that it's human waste. That's now common knowledge. You know that it's everything that's flushed down the drain. It's hospital waste. It's industrial waste, pharmaceuticals, recreational drugs, you know, light industry, whatever they flush down the drains. It's like people's used, you know, car oil and everything else that goes down the drain. But what if I told you that the dissolved sludge of dead people was also found in the city waste of some cities? That brings me to this story out of Canada. It says a Smith Falls company that dissolves the dead has license suspended. We covered this on Natural News, and I even mentioned it on a previous InfoWars show. But there's a company that has figured out a way to turn dead humans into liquid. And then they dump this liquid into the city sewer system. And it becomes the biosolids that the cities then spread on food crops. So you're literally, it's like a scene out of the Matrix, right? You're literally liquefying the dead and feeding it back to babies and adults through the food supply because that's what the crops are grown in. You know, it's called fertilizer because it has nitrogen in it. But it's also got, in some cases, the dead liquefied remains of your relatives. And we called this out. We talked about this. And still to this day, almost nobody believes this is happening. But that's not even the worst part of it. Cannibalism is what I'm calling it. Abortion centers. Now, I'm not even going to ask Dr. David Lewis about abortion because I'm not trying to make this a political interview with him. He's a scientist. I want to ask him about the science of biosolids. But in this segment, before we get to Dr. Lewis, what I'm telling you is that abortion centers, we now know, across America are, how to put this nicely, they're taking the dead fetal tissue and they're putting it down garbage disposals that drain right into the city sewer systems. Not all of them are doing it that way, but some are. And this has come out through videos and articles from, I believe it's the Center for Medical Progress talks about that. And what it means, and we've covered this in Natural News, in this article, new recycling technology is actually cannibalism. Dead people are liquefied, drained into city sewers. And if you look at if you search on my websites for abortions, abortion industry and biosolids, you'll find how the abortion industry is putting the fetal tissue down the drain. What it means is that you are fertilizing crops with aborted human fetal tissue. And in some cases, due to biocremation, the dead remains of actual adult humans, you know, like family members who died, you know, they're being liquefied and put into the sewer system. The thing is, somebody might argue, oh, well, it's green, it's recycling. They used to just bury, you know, Aunt May out in the back 40. And, you know, it was natural, just bury people in the ground. That's what they would say. But today, it's not just a natural burial. It's not like the Native American Indians would just bury people in the ground. It's not being done that way. It's being done with chemicals. And it's being done covertly so that you don't know this is happening. No one from these industries goes public and says, oh, yeah, we're liquefying, you know, aborted babies and we're flushing them down into the municipal water system, you know, or sewage system, and they're turning into biosolids that we're putting on your crops. No one tells you that. No one tells you that story, even though it's true. No one tells you, oh, biocremation, we're going to have a whole new system where we liquefy your dead relatives and dump them down the drain so they become part of the biosolids so you can spread, you know, your... You know, granny, you know, through the sewage supply on your peach orchard. in northern Oregon, let's say, or southern Washington. No one's telling you that. And that's my point. This is all being hidden from you. It's covert. It is insidious. There are many ethical questions. There are health questions. There are epidemiological questions. What about the spreading of disease? You know, what about if you're taking this biomedical waste and flushing it down the drain and it happens? You think hospitals properly dispose of everything? No, they don't. Especially, you know, the local low budget clinics. A lot of that stuff just goes down the drain. And it ends up on farms, and it ends up intermingled with the food supply. And then the food supply ends up being fed to your children. You know, you got to ask questions like E. coli. How did E. coli contaminate romaine lettuce? There was a big safety recall issue. The FDA was part of it, that romaine lettuce was sickening people across America because of E. coli. Well, guess what? E. coli only comes from animals and humans. E. coli doesn't just appear magically out of the thin air. E. coli doesn't just grow on romaine lettuce. It comes from humans or animals. So for E. coli to get into the vegetables, it has to come from somewhere. What if it's coming from the biosludge, the sewage system? They're concentrating all these toxins and then spreading them on food production crops, which could include orchards. It could include corn. I mean, imagine you're growing genetically modified corn on a human feces biosludge, quote, fertilizer with ground up dead babies and dead humans on the crops. And you're eating GMO corn and you're told everything's fine, everything's safe. Don't worry. Don't ask any questions. Keep buying your GMO corn because it's, you know, it's only 59 cents a pound or whatever it happens to be. You know, that's the kind of thing that we are fighting against here. You need to think about where your food comes from. You need to think about where the fertilizer comes from. You need to think about where things go when you flush them down the drain. Where does that end up? And every city in America is a generator of a massive pile of human feces and waste and pollution that's then just spread all over America. And it's the cities polluting the rural areas. It's the northern cities polluting the southern cities in some cases, like we saw with this New York train being stuck in Alabama full of New York poo and sewage. What is New York sewage doing in Parrish, Alabama? You know, ask that question. Why is there a trainload of feces stuck in Alabama? Because our system is broken. There's so much feces and waste being produced by these cities, they don't know what to do with it. They need to be incinerating it and turning it into ash, by the way, and that way you destroy the chemicals, you destroy the pharmaceuticals, you destroy the plasticizers, the hormone disruptors, the microbes. You need to incinerate it, and then it becomes a very tiny mass. You know, 100 tons of feces, of biosludge, might become only, let's say, 1 ton of ash by the time you incinerate it. That's what you need to be doing, but the cities don't want to do that because it costs too much money. So they just take it and dump it on the farmers' fields and dump it in the front yards of farmers who, frankly, are not informed on this issue. They think they're getting free fertilizer. This is the issue that we're talking about here. And, you know, we're going to interview Dr. David Lewis in the next segment. He'll be joining us. And he's going to give us the lowdown on the fraudulent science behind all of this. And I'm going to ask him some tough questions. You know, is the EPA engaged in systemic fraud? Is the EPA faking the science on this? Why is the EPA legalizing the mass pollution of America with human feces and human waste? What's the solution? As cities produce waste, what are we supposed to do with it all? How do we stop this mass poisoning of America's soils and America's croplands and farmlands with biosludge? These are the questions that I'm going to ask. And that's my job here on Counterthink. That's why I do this show. And that's why I appreciate you supporting this show and sharing this show. So when we come back, you know, we'll get into that. We all need answers. This is a real issue affecting your health and my health and the health of our children, the health of our communities, and could even be contributing to the rise of antibiotic-resistant superbugs. So stay with us. We'll talk to Dr. David Lewis next as we continue this episode of Counterthink here on Infowars.com.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on Infowars.com.
We're back on Counterthink. Welcome to this segment. We're interviewing Dr. David Lewis, author of Science for Sale, and he's also a key contributor to focusforhealth.org, which is just an amazing website that talks about independent science. And he joins us by Skype for this entire segment. I've got a lot of questions for him. I can't wait to talk to him. Dr. David Lewis, welcome to Counterthink. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, Mike. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you joining, and I really appreciate you making the time for this. You're a busy guy. I understand you are being considered as the science advisor to President Trump. I certainly hope that you actually get offered that position. Is that something you're prepared to do?
I would be very interested in that job, certainly. I did hear from the executive committee of the Trump transition to see whether I would accept that position if offered.
Well, I certainly hope they give that a serious and due consideration. You have an extraordinary background in science. Let me brief our viewers on just a little bit of that, and I'll ask you to fill in the blanks if I leave something out. You are a former EPA scientist. Some people call you a whistleblower. You are very, very familiar with analytical science and environmental science, and you are very familiar with the EPA's decision to legalize the pollution of soils through the biosludge / biosolids decisions that were made in mostly in the 1990s. Your book, Science for Sale, opened my eyes to this issue. And in that book, which I strongly recommend, you really laid out the case for revisiting the perhaps twisted science on this issue. Is that a pretty good summary, or am I leaving something major out there, Dr. Lewis?
No, you got it right. I would explain that my quote-unquote whistleblowing is nothing other than publishing scientific articles in Nature, Lancet, and Nature Medicine that raise concerns about EPA and CDC policies.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're just publishing science, and yet that's what we've come to in this world today. We're publishing fact-based, evidence-based science turns you into a whistleblower, because in some cases the corruption of the regulatory system is so extreme that someone needs to shed light on it with legitimate science. So let's back up. Let me ask you a very basic question. I know we've covered this before. You're featured in my upcoming film, by the way, Biosludged. People can see that trailer at biosludged.com. You visited my laboratory, and we filmed you for that film, which is coming out later this year. But for those who are new to this topic, explain from a scientist's point of view, what is biosludge exactly? I mean, and why would the EPA say that this is okay to spread on farms and crop fields all across America?
Well, the biosludge is the semi-solid material that settles out at wastewater treatment plants where our sewage goes to in municipalities across the country. It's mostly human feces, but it's got a lot of other waste in there, including industrial waste. The best way to look at what EPA has done, the crux of it is, in the 1970s, 70 in particular, when EPA was created, industry and municipalities ran their chemicals into rivers through a pipe. EPA, under the first Clinton administration, changed that after Jimmy Carter, under Jimmy Carter's presidency, sewage treatment plants were created across America, to where the pollutants that were in the water became concentrated in the solid material, the biosludge that settles out at waste treatment plants. And the difference here in between having infinitesimally small concentrations of pollutants going into the rivers and diluting out in the oceans, getting carried away from the human population and settling out in the sediments at the bottoms of the oceans, is it's now concentrated millions of times higher and spread on land all around us and unregulated.
Now, your audio is a little bit choppy. We got most of that. I would just caution our viewers, or urge our viewers, listen in, because this interview is extremely important to understand. And if I could just restate what you said, Dr. Lewis, before the EPA legalized this, the contaminants and pollutants were at much lower concentrations as they were being released into, let's say, waterways or various oceans. But today they're more highly concentrated into biosolids, and the EPA has granted permission for that biosludge, as we call it, to be distributed, basically trucked out of the cities and distributed in rural areas across America, distributed onto farmlands, croplands, orchards, sometimes school playgrounds, a forest where children hike, and all of these places. And now the pollutants are concentrated. And as you said, it's heavy metals, it's industrial waste from cities, it's human feces, it's E. coli, it's viral strains, bacterial strains, in addition to all the plasticizer chemicals, hormone disruptors, pharmaceuticals, recreational drugs, and anything else that we can think of. Does that kind of summarize? Is that a pretty accurate description?
Exactly. And as a microbiologist, I sort of stress that every antibiotic-resistant organism we know of is contained in it. And many of them survive the sewage treatment process.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're living in a society that I believe even some medical journals have said is the end of the era of antibiotics because of the spread of superbugs. And what you're saying is then some of these superbugs, let's say someone uses the toilet in a hospital setting, MRSA or C. diff or other antibiotic resistant strains can be flushed into the municipal sewer system, end up in this biosludge, and end up being spread on food farms or countryside areas, superbugs. It almost sounds like a weapon delivery system, Dr. Lewis. It's almost like biological terrorism.
You could not design a more perfect weapon. I mean, think about it. We mix the infectious waste of the human population in with the pharmaceutical waste. Every antibiotic that is used goes in the sewer, so you mix the pathogens and the antibiotics together in high concentrations together and spread it all around us. And then listen to the CDC and EPA, FDA and others explain that it's the doctor's fault for over-prescribing antibiotics. That's why we've got this problem.
It's
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's extraordinary that it has come to this. I really encourage viewers to get your book, Science for Sale. It is astonishing, eye-opening. I think the first chapter is all about dentistry and some of the spread of HIV through earlier dental instruments, correct? And then you get into biosludge in chapters 2 and 3?
Correct.
All right. Well, look, we got to take a quick break, Dr. Lewis. We'll be right back after this break to ask you more about why this has been legalized and why it's being covered up by the EPA, what we can do to resolve this mass pollution issue affecting America. Stay with us here on CounterThink.
Warning, take the red pill before viewing. CounterThink with Mike Adams.
And you're watching CounterThink. I'm Mike Adams, your host. Each episode airs not only on InfoWars.com, Sundays at 6 p.m. Central, but also at the website CounterThink.com. So be sure to check out all those episodes, plus additional video blog posts as well. And we are continuing our conversation with Dr. David Lewis, former EPA scientist, a microbiologist, author of Science for Sale, one of the most intelligent and intriguing scientists I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing on these topics. And Dr. Lewis, my question for you to lead off this segment is, you know, your book opened my eyes to this idea that we have a Clean Water Act and we have a Clean Air Act in the United States, but we don't have a Clean Soils Act. And so the EPA has decided to take all these contaminants and pollutants and legalize their dumping into soils, many of which end up dumping into the streams and rivers anyway, and other soils are used to grow the food that we're feeding our children in public school lunch programs. So it seems kind of insane. Why does the EPA believe it's okay to pollute soils but not air and water? It seems inconsistent to me as a scientist. What's up with that?
Well, EPA's rank and file scientists never believed that it was okay. Throughout EPA's Office of Research and Development, where I worked as a senior level research microbiologist, they unanimously kicked out this idea. It was the politically run program offices in Washington under the first Clinton administration that pushed this through and actually created large bodies of scientific literature that can only be described, in my opinion, as totally phony to support this.
So what you seem to be referring to, what the rest of us would call fake science. Are you accusing the EPA in that era of conducting a fake science agendas to sort of sweep this under the rug and allow America to be polluted with biosludge?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as we watch the Flint River and Washington, D.C. lead in the water, drinking water problem unfold, we found there that EPA was publishing fake data in the scientific literature. When I got to looking at land application of toxic chemicals and heavy metals on soil, we found the same thing. In fact, EPA admitted when we caught them that they had faked 20 years of pollutant data to cover up problems with land application of sewage sludge. A federal judge ruled that when the computer scientists who created the data admitted it.
And you talked in your book about this effort within the EPA to cover up the scientific evidence showing risk of harm and the degree of pollution being carried out in the name of biosludge. It seems like you were describing almost what you might call, you know how you have the deep state in politics? It's almost like you have a deep state EPA system or people within the EPA that are trying to purge real scientists to get them out of the agency. Like I think your research was halted when you started speaking out. So I guess my question is, was there a concerted effort inside the EPA to silence those who were trying to raise the alarm over this?
There has been. Ever since President Eisenhower left office, in his farewell speech, he predicted this problem. It just naturally comes with massive federal funding of scientific research by federal agencies. Just naturally, they're going to channel all of that effort and funding into supporting whatever political parties they come up, policies they come up with. So that's where we are today. We have whole bodies of scientific literature that has been fabricated, and the difference between a university professor and a federal scientist being caught faking data is that the university professor will lose his or her job, and with the EPA or the FDA or the CDC doing exactly the same thing, caught red-handed, those individuals typically get promoted if it was done to support government policies.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. I mean, you're describing a systemic scientific fraud agenda inside the EPA. And as you mentioned, it's probably not limited to just the EPA. The FDA has been known for being engaged in a lot of fraud when it comes to covering up the harm of certain pharmaceuticals, for example, that were left on the market while they were killing people in order to protect those profits. The CDC has been under fire for similar things. The EPA today, though, is run by Scott Pruitt. And Scott Pruitt, not long ago, came out with a new initiative to try to bring transparency to the EPA, to say that key regulatory decisions by the EPA should be based on science that is made transparent so that public members of the public and also public scientists can weigh in or at least see the basis upon which these decisions have been made. Do you support Scott Pruitt's effort within the EPA to bring more scientific transparency to the regulatory agency?
Absolutely. I mean, Scott Pruitt, one of the first things he did was ask the Inspector General to look at what's going on with land application of sewage sludge and the corruption that's behind it that I exposed in my book. That was a huge step forward. Even more recently, when he has gotten rid of Science Advisory Board scientists who were getting EPA grants, that was a huge step forward, though he took all kind of heat in the media over it, the mainstream media. In fact, it was what needed to be done for decades. You can't have scientists on the EPA's Science Advisory Board who EPA is lining their pockets with big federal grants. Basically, EPA's paying them to support their policies.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, where the EPA, and I believe the CDC does this as well, uses taxpayer money to direct government grants to scientists who just reaffirm the fake science that the EPA wants to push. So it becomes a circular reasoning, fraudulent science or fake science, you know, kind of circle the wagons scheme. Instead of saying, hey, what's actual science, what's real, they're saying, how do we fund these certain people who are willing to back up the science fraud that we, the EPA, are carrying out? Does that sound like an accurate assessment?
That's what happens, and it also happens internally, as it did to me as an EPA scientist. Every scientist at EPA, and this applies to other federal agencies as well, when they go to publish a paper or give a presentation at a national scientific meeting or international meeting, there's a little box at the top of that clearance form that says policy implications. You have to check it. If your research, your results, your conclusions in any way relates to that agency's policies, then your work goes to the program offices run by the political appointees that make sure that whatever results and conclusions go out of that agency into the scientific literature are screened. If they have policy implications and they don't support that agency's policies, it doesn't get published.
So you can't even really call that science, can you?
It's not science.
Well, what would you call it if it's not science?
Fraud.
Fraud.
It is a violation of the Federal Grants and Cooperative Agreement Act of 1977, which prohibits with criminal penalties any agency from using grants and cooperative agreements to support its policies and other actions it takes, guidelines, etc.
Okay, Dr. Lewis,
be put in jail.
Stay with us. I've got one or two more questions for you as we come back on the other side of this approaching break. This is truly bombshell, eye-opening information that you're sharing with us here today. Dr. Lewis's book is called Science for Sale. His website is focusforhealth.org, and his articles are at focusforhealth.org/David Lewis, spelled L-E-W-I-S, David Lewis. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on CounterThink.
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo, this is CounterThink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
Getting back to Dr. David Lewis, former EPA scientist, author, and now being considered as the science advisor to President Trump. Dr. Lewis, just a couple last questions for you here. One is, you know, the story about New York has trainloads of human sewage that got stuck in this town of, what is it, Parrish, Alabama. This freight train full of biosludge from New York City, because, of course, New York City, like other cities, exports a tremendous amount of sludge or human waste. You know, it's just human waste and municipal waste flushed down the toilet. Did this story got national attention? A lot of people had no idea this was happening, but did it surprise you at all?
Not at all, because that's how the system works. You get up in the northern states, and because of the cold climate, they can't land apply it year-round. So it ends up being put on rail cars and shipped otherwise down to the south, where it is spread year-round. And I would like to point out, it's spread mainly in economically and educationally disadvantaged areas. They go out to the poor areas to spread this material.
So there's almost a comedy aspect to this. It's like a civil war between the North and the South. The North is exporting all of its human waste to the South because the South has a warmer climate. They don't want their frozen human poo all over the streets of New York. Although San Francisco today actually does have a lot of human sewage, they're having their own problem there. It seems insane to people who've never heard of this. Where is this headed? I mean, that's my last question for you. Where is this all headed? Are we just going to end up buried in human feces all across the country at some point, or what? Where is this going?
It doesn't look like it's stopping, and that is where it's headed. It's going to be spread in every available tract of land by every municipality in the United States until the entire population is exposed to it, primarily through blowing winds more than anything else. The dust are blown, and therein, according to our research, published in Nature and other leading science journals, lies a problem. Think about it. We used to have infinitesimally small amounts of these pollutants, industrial waste, in water when EPA was created. Now it's concentrated millions of times higher, every pollutant imaginable, on tiny particles of dust when it dries out on the land and blows. So imagine one tiny dust particle that you cannot even see with the naked eye is inhaled, and it comes in contact with one lung cell. So between that soil particle, that dust particle, and that one lung cell is every mutagen, every carcinogen known to man, and everyone we don't know, in millions of times higher concentration then it's regulated in air and water. So when that one cell becomes a cancer cell and spreads, you got lung cancer. So that's what EPA has done to us in the last 30 years.
Well, it's extraordinary, Dr. Lewis, and we could go into this in a lot more detail if we had more time, but I'll just have to encourage people, get your book, Science for Sale. Read your website, focusforhealth.org, and also, of course, check out my upcoming film, biosludged.com, which features you as well as many other experts on this topic. I want to thank you for joining us today, Dr. David Lewis. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here, Mike. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
It's great to have you on. Best to you with your being perhaps the science advisor to President Trump. So there you go. There's Dr. David Lewis, author of Science for Sale. Really just a great American, a wonderful, a very intelligent and also courageous individual. The stuff that he has gone through in terms of, you know, being threatened and censored and slandered and so on is maybe exactly what you would expect, because he's telling the truth. He's trying to save lives. He's trying to help America become a less polluted, less contaminated place. And it seems like in our world today, anyone who dares to tell the truth about anything that would help humanity is for some reason demonized. It's out of control. It's insane. But we need good American men and women, and men like Dr. David Lewis. We need people like that in charge to help bring this country back from the brink of destruction. Let's cover some other environmental news about contaminants in our world, because it's not just biosludge. It's also glyphosate, herbicide. A new article out of The Guardian with the title, Weed Killer Found in Granola and Crackers, Internal FDA Emails Show. Turns out that this group called the U.S. Right to Know, which has done some pretty incredible work on exposing Monsanto and exposing glyphosate and GMOs and so on, got their hands on some internal emails of the FDA through FOIA requests. And these emails show that the FDA has known about this massive contamination problem for many, many years, about glyphosate being in nearly all foods. It's in almost everything. The FDA has known about it, and they have withheld this information from the public. It's all on purpose. They're preventing you from learning the truth about what's in your food because they don't want you to know. This weed killer, by the way, it's in all the honey. It's in nearly all grains. It's in all wheat products almost. Even some organic products have some spillover of glyphosate. You know, glyphosate, it's a very insidious small molecule. It's similar in terms of its molecular format. It's similar to VX nerve gas. I've done quite a bit of looking at this molecule on mass spec instruments in the laboratory. It has a mass to charge ratio, for example, of 169.0 something. We're looking at it, and it's a very, very difficult molecule to assess in the laboratory. But some other news, Japan plans to use radioactive Fukushima soil to build roads. You know, this was a recent story. We don't cover, you know, breaking news, today's breaking news, but these are all environmental issues that are impacting us. Think about this. You got glyphosate in the food supply. You got food being grown in biosludge and human waste all across the country. And then you got countries like Japan that are going to use radioactive soil to build roads. And then, you know, the vaccine industry. Here's a story. You got the vaccine industry where Canadian data show that there's more autism in regions where vaccine coverage is the highest. So when you have more vaccines, you get more autism on top of the biosludge contamination assaults on your system, on top of the radiation. And then here's another study that just came out of Environmental Health Perspectives that says artificial light from the cities is increasing breast cancer risk and prostate cancer risk. And again, this is out of Environmental Health Perspectives. And it shows, here we go, it shows that exposure to these LED lights, which is a blue wavelength light, it's more blue, which has more energy in it. It interferes with your body's normal hormone balance and hormone cycles that control sleep cycles as well as cancer-causing or cancer-preventing hormone functions. So you've got city lights that are causing cancer. You've got biosludge from the cities being spread on farms all across America. That, and the biosludge contains cancer-causing chemicals and heavy metals and hormone disruptors. You talk about an assault. It's a full-on assault on humanity through multiple vectors. On top of this, then here's an article I found recently at the Daily Bell. It's talking about how you can't trust experts and lab results at trial because the governments are using labs where they routinely lie about lab tests. And the police are using these labs. Did you know that the lab here in Austin, Texas, was shut down by court order because it was engaged in so much fraud to falsely convict people of possession of narcotics when they didn't possess narcotics at all? So in so many cases, the labs are being faked. The science is being faked. You're being lied to. You're being poisoned. You're being indoctrinated by television. The propaganda is all around you. You're being given cancer by the city street lights. And it's just in one insult after another. No wonder you got to have good health and good nutrition, superfoods and supplements to stay healthy, because you have to combat all these attacks on your body and your mind that are being waged by all these vectors in the world around you. So we're here to help you navigate all that. That's my job, Mike Adams here at CounterThink. I thank you for watching this show. I hope you learned a lot. I certainly did. There's a lot more coming. Every Sunday, Infowars.com, 6 p.m. Central Time. You can also catch these episodes at CounterThink.com. So don't miss every episode. It's going to be action-packed, full of information and wisdom. Thank you for joining me today. Mike Adams here for CounterThink at Infowars.com.